2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13. This side. On this side here. Here we go. Everybody. Come on, what happened? Here we go. 1, 2, go. And since you don't sound very convincing to me. And since we, yours should be, and since we don't have the spirit, same spirit of faith. When you have the spirit of faith, you don't say it like that. Right, this is how you try. Do you have the spirit of faith? Here we go. Go. Okay, well, let's see what we have learned. So first night, Sunday night, we talk about learning, right? And the first concept was faith. And since we have the spirit of faith, we must begin with faith. Last night, we talked about, and since we have the same spirit of faith, right? So we talk about the spirit of faith and how rich our Christian heritage really is. And our Christian heritage is so rich. You have people who will die for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Now, tonight we go on a little bit so that we can take a look at this verse a little bit further. And since we're the same spirit, and the next part of it, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. Here we go. Let's try that again. According to what was written, I believe and therefore I spoke. Where was Paul citing from? Obviously, he read the Bible too. Right? And I give you a clue. Which part of the Bible did he cite this from? This side. This side seems to be the sleepy side. Come on. What? Will be? The book of? This side. We all don't have the same spirit of faith. You'll be shouting, same spirit of faith, yelling, shouting. Therefore, I, you know. Well, let's take a look at Psalm 116 and see what Paul cited. And as we take a look at Psalm 116, you begin to see a tremendous sense of correspondence between what we read in Psalm 116 and then also we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All right, let's take a look at this very carefully. Okay, very quickly, Psalm 116. The psalmist begins with, I love the Lord. Right? So he said, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Now, he went through a lot of difficulties, just like Paul. For example, take a look at verse 3. The pains of death surrounded me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. That's what Paul had. Right? A lot of problems, difficulties in his life. The church fathers had the same thing. Can you see this? The book of Psalms. The psalmist goes through difficulty. The Apostle Paul, difficulties. See, the church fathers, difficulties. And yet they can say, I love the Lord. Now that is the true spirit of faith. A true spirit of faith must be able to say, I can endure suffering, I can take whatever life hurls at me, even if it means persecution, suffering and possible death. That is the spirit of faith. Now, it's all very easy to talk about love. And sometimes we wonder what that really is. If there is no suffering, it's pretty easy. I was reading a short story about this love, and this can be very, very, very sweet, as innocent and as pure as children can have it. Well, this is a mother, housewife the U.S. And she has a beautiful garden, and her prize bush was the azalea flowers. One morning, a little boy going to kindergarten went to the bush there, broke off a branch, and then when the mummy came out to see what happened, he asked, "Can I bring this bunch of flowers to Kindy?" "What can you do? It's already broken." So the mother said to the plant, "Sorry, eh?" You know, good gardeners talk to their plants. Not that the plant say anything back. Did the plant say, "It's okay, don't worry"? It didn't. So she had a very rough day. You know, the washing machine was spoiled. We had to take all the clothes, go to the laundromat and wash and all that. And then when she came back home, the school, the kindergarten called, "Can you come down to the office? I need to talk to you about your son." Oh, yeah, her heart sank. This problem, that problem, the son early morning broke off the thing. Yes, she was like, "Eh." So she had to go and see the principal of the kindergarten and the kid, he says, "Can I tell you something? You see that little girl there? Then you're going to talk about my son, right? See?" She pasted something on the board, and it was special. And so he says, "Yesterday, this little girl was told by her parents they're going to get a divorce, and it was so painful. The little girl came to school yelling, screaming, crying, and what are you? Couldn't take it. And the more the teachers tried to calm her down, the more she cried. And so this morning she came to school angry, tearful, screaming. And then your little son went there to her, took a little bit of flowers and told her, 'This is for you,' and said, 'I love you.'" See, as only little boys can do at that age. And she just suddenly cheered up. One of the things about the spirit of love is really associated with the spirit of faith. You read this, but God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, of sound mind. You know what? They're all connected. Love, power, sound mind. A small boy, now of course he doesn't have any other thought in his mind. The classmate was crying. He just felt that he ought to do something about it. Plucked some flowers, broke the mother's heart. Prize azalea branch, pass it to her. He didn't know better. And then, you know, the teacher said, "Your son was just wonderful today. I just got to tell you." Isn't it a nice phone call? That's what love is. You want to watch this. See, we all talk about this idea of the spirit of faith, and we don't know what it is. How do I know whether we have this thing here or not? You see, the psalmist began with, "I love the Lord." That's how you know. When that love is real, when it is genuine, it floats right to the top. There are many verses, and the first one is love. Now that tells you something. Was there trouble? Yes. Were there difficulties? Yes. But that love is so real. We read in the Bible, we love because God loved us first. Did Paul love the Lord Jesus? Absolutely. And he says, the love of Christ constrains me. And he does things because he loved the Lord Jesus. No question about that. He would suffer for him. He will die for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, right? So we read this love. Obviously, it's in the Psalmist, Psalm 116. It was in the Apostle Paul. It was in the church fathers. Question. Is this love, the spirit of faith, love inside you? Now that is not an easy thing. I'm going to tell you some stories again. I read the scriptures, and one of the things I like to read is about people who serve the Lord. I want to see how they serve the Lord. How did they cope? What happens if there are difficulties along the way? And I study the lives of missionaries, their children, their difficulties, their challenges. They all began with, I want to serve the Lord, I love the Lord, I'm going out to be a missionary for the Lord. So obviously there was faith, there was love for the Lord. Question, how strong is that spirit of faith inside them? Now I want to ask myself, how real, how strong is that love they have for the Lord? In order to figure out what kind of spirit of faith they really have. A story is told of a young lady, missionary kid. We call him in the US, they call him MK, missionary kid. Her name was called Carrie. And during the Second World War, they were all captured in the Philippines, and they were prisoners of war. Now that's interesting, right? Because some of the children would gather together, they would pray together, and the only prayer was, Lord, give us freedom, set us free. Every day. But the war was going on. She was not set free, still in prison. Then after a while, she began to be uncomfortable. Should I keep praying like that? And one day, she decided she will make this prayer. And so she said, Lord, maybe you want me to be here. I'm praying. Pangs of Sheol, death all around me. I am just going to tell you this. If you want me to be here, I will be here. And I won't ask for freedom. I say, wow, that is some prayer. She was not afraid to be a prisoner of war, even if she dies in that prison camp. Teenager. That spirit of faith was obviously inside her. Now, that was really, really, really challenging. What is it all about? Some years ago, we had a story about this lady called Lottie Moon, Charlotte Moon, South Baptist missionary to China. Not well educated. She loved the Lord, she loved the Chinese people, and she went there. Now, that was an interesting situation. In 1911, a smallpox hit that area where she was serving. And so she asked the people in the U.S., please send money, please send supplies, please help the people over here. And they sent things over. But it was not enough. So she wrote again, please send some more. We don't have enough. People are starving. People are dying. And then she went to her cupboard. She realized there was plenty of food. You know what she did? She said, I am going to love these people enough, the Chinese people enough, and I'm going to be just like them. If they starve, I starve. They don't have enough, I don't have enough. So she started to identify with all of them. Slowly, a big lady, she became thinner, more and more emaciated, and they knew later on that she was actually starving to death. When they found out that she was starving to death, they sent rescue mission, take her out, send her home on what ship? Lottie Moon died. Her memory, serving the Lord like this, till today, in her name, Lottie Moon, this ministry
millions are set aside for missionary work till today. Why? Spirit of faith. Identified with the Chinese people. Loved them. And she gave her life for the work there. You see, the spirit of love is not something you can explain. It's either there in a little boy, in a teenager, in a missionary lady. Either it's there or it's not. You see, the spirit of faith is not something you memorize, it's something you read. It is something that affects you so deeply. It goes into your spirit. Now, what is the spirit capable of? It is capable of a lot of love. And I think that is something that we want to take a look at. In the 1960s, one of the most painful periods of Africa was in the Congo region called Zaire. And I read a lot about these things here. Some Time magazine, in a magazine called Life magazine, they used to show pictures of how a group of people, they were called the Simbas. And they killed people at random. They killed people because they like to kill people. Many died. The 1960s was the period where the most number of missionaries to Africa were killed. And it was a painful time. The women missionaries were raped. The missionaries were slaughtered. People died. Thousands died. The Simbas were the ones. And here was one, what happened? We came to a village. And then they went down there. And they would pick a family. Okay, you two brothers, one of you must die. Just like that. What would you do? Whole village, they're going to take people to die. One village, one person will have to die. What would you do? One father, his name was called Lazaro, came up. And he said, don't let any of the villagers die. I will die for them. He said, who are you? So I'm a Christian. I tell people about Jesus. I'm not afraid to die. If I die, I will be with the Lord Jesus. So they mocked him, laughed at him. And they said, your sons will die. He said, no, please, my life or theirs. Take my life. Would you give your life for your village? Would you give your life for your sons? So they lined up a group of people, and everyone was shot. Next, and so he came to his turn. So they mocked him, and he said, you are a preacher. All right, your last message, preach to the people. He knew that they were mocking him. What would he do? He preached about what he believed in. He believed in Jesus. He preached about his hope in heaven. He was not afraid to die. He talked to the people about the Lord Jesus. And people's hearts were moved. One after the other. Next batch, shot. Next batch, shot. The Simbas were killing people. But when it came to this man, Lazaro, somehow they sort of, okay, put him aside. They were so impacted by what he said. But he was not afraid to die. Africa has seen many people give their lives to it, to win the people for Christ. Many men missionaries have gone there. Many have died. Sometimes they don't succeed. Sometimes in life, The greatest sense of love is not always seen in success, but in failure. And a story is told of a Swedish missionary couple, David and his wife, Sevilla Flood. Young missionaries, they were stirred to give their lives to serve the Lord. And they chose Africa. We're going to win the people for the Lord. Many months, early years, they went there. But they couldn't take the climate easily. They were from Sweden. And they began to succumb to the problems there. And then his wife, Sevilla, died. Heartbroken, he took his son, returned home for a while. But his little baby daughter, Aggie, too ill to travel, stayed home, stayed there in Africa, and then was cared for by another missionary couple. He never went back to see her. Then after they died, another missionary couple brought her up. So little Aggie has never seen her mother. Father never related to her. She was almost abandoned. And when he went home, a lot of doubts came to his mind. Was it worth it? What is missionary work all about? How come the wife died? The little baby daughter is back in Africa. So many things hit his heart, hit his mind. And for a while, his faith faltered and was broken. He got married again. That marriage shattered. And then he got into drinking. And then got into smoking. His life was completely wrecked. Not every missionary succeeds. Not every pastor succeeds. Flood did not succeed. What happened to little Aggie? The missionary couple, when she was strong enough, actually brought her back to the U.S., within her heart, her desire was to go and serve the Lord too. Went to Bible school, trained to become a missionary. But first, she wanted to go and search for her father, whom she has never seen for over 20 years. Finally found a father in Stockholm, Sweden. And finally located, father was all alone. Small house, he's grown much older, sick like anything. The room was filthy, whiskey bottles all around the room, smell of smoke, had a beard, he was unkempt, he was just so absolutely dirty. And he asked her, "Who are you?" And she introduced herself, "I'm Aggie, I'm your daughter." You know, he could not find it within his heart to listen. "How can you be Aggie? My daughter died." "Nope, I did not die. Missionary couple brought me up, one set, at the second step, and I came back to the U.S., and you know what? I'm here now." He says, "Missionary work is impossible. Don't do it. It's impossible." He says, "Daddy, you're wrong. I only led one little boy to believe in Jesus. One little boy, years of work in Africa. That's all. One. It's impossible." And she says, "Daddy, you are wrong. I'll tell you why. That little boy grew up. You know what? He won his entire village to Christ because he remembered all the Bible stories you told him. It has become his faith. He has now become a preacher. You did not fail, Daddy. He says, but I failed you. And he said, no. And he told the daddy that she loved him. That is what love is all about. It's not just for success. It's when a life is broken down, when hope is all gone, when you have made a mess out of your life and somebody still loves you. And in tears, he asks, do you think the Lord Jesus will forgive me? I've disgraced his name. I failed as a missionary. You think God could ever forgive me? And father and daughter were reconciled. She has a heart big enough to love for the both of them. And so the father became restored. You see, this is what love is all about. Sometimes we think of God's love and we think of all sorts of wonderful success. It is success. But there are times when we fail. There are times when we falter. There are times when we just about want to give up. We want to quit. And you will find that there are people who won't quit on you. Mel Shorter was a drunkard in the U.S., he had told himself, I'm going to be dry. I'm going on a dry wagon. I will not. Many, many times for many years, he just could not give up his drinking habit. This was like a demon controlling him. And one day he came back home drunk. And he couldn't give any money to feed the family. That the little baby daughter was there. That the baby daughter was dead in the mother's arms. And there it was at the funeral, little white casket. And he wrapped his arms around the casket and wept his heart out. But the daughter had died. He wasn't there for her. And he had been a drunken bum for years on end. Until one day, he stepped into a mission house. And there he heard how the Lord loved him and make his life whole again. He says, you don't understand what I have done. I've destroyed my family. My daughter died because I didn't care for her. You think there is a God, there is a love of God that will restore me. He found faith in the Lord Jesus. Never touch a drop ever again. You see, the love of God has power. That a love for a father, for a daughter, is not strong enough to offer. The love of God and the power there is, it's so great, it can take a person's life and change it completely. This is faith. This is the spirit of faith. This is the spirit of love that we actually see. And so that's why the psalmist began his psalm. It was remembering his suffering, remembering the trouble, remembering all his pains. And the first thing it remembers is, I love the Lord. You know, a lot of people have not understood what it means to love the Lord. I like to read about poems. I mean, like to read. One of the greatest poets that ever lived was a man called William Cowper. And he wrote a beautiful hymn. And it talks about how he wrote many hymns for the Lord. But William Cowper was a person who was unfortunately very, very prone to depression. Sometimes poets have that problem. They feel. But sometimes the feelings actually affect them and it hurts them. And William Cowper was depressed. Many times he actually attempted suicide. And it was painful. Thank God for friends. One of the friends that he had was a man called John Newton, the one who wrote Amazing Grace. And he stood with him. You see, it's not only a love for a father to a daughter or a daughter to a father. It's also to another person, a friend to a friend. For years, William Cowper had to have a series of sets and sets of friends stood with him, prayed for him, encouraged him until his mind became stable and strong again. That's what the spirit of love is all about. So when we talk about the spirit of faith, what does it include? It includes the ability to suffer, to die for our faith in the Lord. But one of the most beautiful things it is able to do is to understand the love of God, to be impacted by the love of God, to be filled by the love of God until it is able to find a power and a strength and a life like no other. Missionary stories' lives are full of such expressions of love for people. People who give their lives to serve the Lord, people who suffered for the Lord, people who are prepared to starve themselves for the sake of the Lord's ministry, people who will give their lives. And you ask them why. And they will tell you that it is because simply they love the Lord. You know, tonight as we study these notes here, I want to just highlight some of those things here for you. Look at what they discovered about the Lord. Can you see this? And you see on the page one over there. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. They discovered a God full of grace, full of mercy that is there. Page two. The Lord preserved the simple. I was brought low and He saved me. And as they learned about God, as they believe in God, listen, we read Psalm 116. The psalmist said, I believe and therefore I spoke. But Paul said the same thing, quoting the psalmist. We also believe and we speak. To believe is to have faith. To have faith in a God who is gracious, who is righteous, who is merciful, and everything else that we could believe God is. Last part, page five, point number five, application to life. What shall I render? How do I respond to the Lord? He said, I will take up the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. And then that's what he did. And so he said, I am your servant. Tonight, as we take time to ponder this short word, we talk about faith, what it means, a wonderful God to believe in. We talk about the spirit of faith that enable the church fathers to die for their faith. Can you see? And now we see something else. We see this love that was there obviously in the psalmist, this love that was obviously in the Apostle Paul, this love that was found in many missionaries who gave their lives to serve the Lord and to die for Him. Tonight, I want to ask you, do you think that you can say, I love the Lord? And that's a beautiful thing to see. Well, let's take time to ponder this thought. Well, let's pray together. Tonight as we pray together, once again, I'm just going to ask you to think about this. We have a God who loves us. We read about this, about how the Lord Jesus Christ came and he gave his life for us. You know, you couldn't have a greater sense of love than when someone would give his life for you. But what's my response to such a God, to such a Savior? Mine is going to be like that of the psalmist. I tell the Lord, I love the Lord. And every year, you know, you seek to cultivate that love for God until it just fills your heart and your mind and your soul. It's just so enriched with the love of God. And that tonight is what I am going to ask you to consider. You see, faith is incomplete until we can say, I love the Lord. And so for many people, faith is only in the mind, not of the heart. They cannot say, I love the Lord. The psalmist did. Paul did. The church fathers did. These missionaries we hear about did. I want to tell you, I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart. But of course, who else would give his life for me? And I want to encourage you to consider faith. A faith that goes to the level of your heart and your spirit. And you can say, I love the Lord too. Okay? Think about this. And then spend time talking to your Vespers leaders later on. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that we are even allowed to say we love you. Thank you for the examples of so many of your servants who were willing to suffer, prepared to die, not because of persecution, but because they are willing to serve you with their life to the very end. We pray that our own hearts would be deeply moved by such expressions of love. We pray that we too will learn how to love you as a wonderful, wonderful God and Savior of our souls. Help us to search for this understanding of faith and of love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.